You're listening to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is not Witness Wednesday. Joining me in studio this morning, the Reverend Mark Wood from the LCMS Office of National Mission, Witness and Outreach. Good morning, Pastor Wood.
Good morning, Andy. I like to think that every day is Witness Wednesday.
Well, that's true. Good point.
Yeah, you know, good day to witness anyway.
That's true. Very good point. So I thought it would be helpful for us to share with our listeners what is Witness and Outreach and Revitalization, which is another area of your responsibility in the Office of National Mission. What is this area? What do you cover in Witness and Outreach?
Well, the term Witness and Outreach was developed as part of the reorganization of the Synod, where, you know, everything was shuffled and the Office of National Mission was created. And witness and outreach became this element in the witness emphasis area. We have the, you know, witness, mercy, life together. Mm-hmm. And on one hand, it might sound like a catch-all. It's like, okay, we have Black ministry, we have Hispanic ministry, we have urban ministry, we have rural small-town ministry, we have campus ministry, witness and outreach, like an all-other category. But I see it more as the synergizing element of the witness area, not theologically synergistic, how do we work across all these different kinds of specialized ministries to ensure that we stay, you know, keeping the main thing the main thing, and the main thing, the reason we're here on this earth is that others would come to know of Jesus Christ, come to faith in him, and have life and salvation as we have. So witness and outreach, there's that word in the middle, and, you know, and I say, well, why witness and outreach? What do we mean? These are two different terms put together. And by witness, we mean the individual work that we do as the church scattered. You know, God has us in different places and different locations at different times in our life. And we're not all in the same place in the same location. We're the church scattered into the world by virtue of our members, the members of the church being in vocation, you know, in workplaces, in schools, in neighborhoods, in mom's groups, in families. So everywhere that God sends us, he sends us to be his witnesses. So that's the witness part of it. Now, we're also the church collectively, the church gathered. And the work that we do collectively as the church gathered, we could call as outreach. It's, you know, we're doing things as the church, you know, holding events, conducting ministries, showing mercy, these kind of things. Having a school ministry, for example, we're doing these collectively in order to connect with people who are outside of the church and gather them into the church with us. So I think that's how I explain it. Think of it. Witness is the work of the church scattered, what we do individually as God's people in the world. Witness is the work we do as a church gathered.
Outreach,
right. Outreach is the work we do as a church gathered, our collective efforts to gather others as well.
Well, that's a nice explanation of witness and outreach. Now, this other area, revitalization, what does that entail?
Well, revitalization is a term I don't particularly like, but it's a term we have.
And it's like when you have a middle name that you don't particularly like.
Yeah, especially when your mother's using it now. So part of my problem with the word revitalization is it makes it sound like something we can do. And it also makes it sound like something's dead. You know, it's like, oh, it's dead. Let's make it alive again. But what people mean by revitalization, or at least what we mean by it, is to help congregations become strong and healthy. Now, the key part of that word revitalization is vital or vitality. Now, we know that anywhere at any time where God's word is proclaimed in purity and truth and the sacraments are rightly administered, there's vitality, there's life, because as this, you know, as Luther says in the Catechism, wherever there's a forgiveness of sins, there's life and salvation. That's vitality. So even a church that's struggling, a church that's seen a decline in membership, that's having problems paying its bills, calling a pastor, and there's a vacancy, you know, dealing with all those things that lead to numerical decline, we don't want to ever think of that church as dead. If the word's being proclaimed in purity and truth, sacraments rightly administered, we know that there's life there. the question becomes then, well, how do we amplify that life? In other words, how do we increase mm-hmm. the use of word and sacrament among ourselves, the people who are already gathered, and with others, people outside of the church? So there's a really intrinsic tie-in to witness and outreach when we talk about revitalization in these terms. And so we have in the Missouri Synod, statistically, about 80% or so of our congregations that have plateaued or are in decline. And what I mean by that is that their membership mm-hmm. has reached a peak and stayed there or has started to drop off. And many of these drop-offs, these declines, are rather significant. So 80% of our congregations, which would put us somewhere between 4,000 and 4,500 congregations that need some help dealing with the decline. And how do we revitalize?
And so that, what does that decline mean? I don't want to be all about numbers specifically, but what does that decline mean? Does that mean that that people, members of LCMS congregations, are leaving the congregations altogether? People obviously are dying. Are they going to other LCMS congregations? When we see a congregation over here decline, does that mean that they're going to another congregation? Are we seeing numbers increase in other places? What does it mean that congregations are either plateaued or declining?
Well, it means that for that particular congregation, membership has either stagnated or is dropping off. Now, what are the causes of that? Certainly, you know, congregations age and members are dying. Mm-hmm. You know, the church as a whole remains the same. You know, it's not a loss of members. They just moved from the church militant to the church triumphant, and we can rejoice in that.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is, in the past, older members were replaced by younger members. And so there was a continuation of the membership, you know, ranks because there were younger members coming in. And what we're seeing statistically now is that there are fewer younger members. And so as our saints age and then pass to glory, there aren't those people coming in behind them to replace them.
Hmm.
So
so either Lutherans are having less babies or not. The next generation isn't continuing on in the footsteps of their parents and coming and being a part of the congregational life.
Right. You know, we know that the birth rate is lower. Of course, as we age as a denomination, as a church body, as we age, there's going to be fewer births. I don't see too many 70 to 80 year olds, you know, starting new families. That's compounded by the children that were raised in the church who have left, have not mm-hmm. come back. You know, there used to be that children often kind of dropped out for a while after confirmation or maybe when he went off to college, and then there was a kind of a return when they started their own families. There's been studies that have been done where they've looked at the numbers. They're saying we're not seeing that coming back that we used to see. There's certainly the rise of the so-called mega church in our American culture. Again, studies have shown that quite a bit of the growth of the mega churches isn't in new conversions, but in members from smaller churches that aren't able to offer the programs and services that the larger churches can, and they tend to attract people. Unfortunately for us as Lutherans, you know, there aren't that many Lutheran mega churches. Mm-hmm. So when people are attracted to a mega church, it's usually outside of the Lutheran confession. And so, if, you know, where the community I lived in Florida, for example, you know, there were no large Lutheran churches. There weren't very many Lutheran churches at all.
Mm-hmm.
The large churches were Baptist churches. So if a family got attracted to that large church because of their youth program or some other thing that they were doing, they were leaving the Lutheran church and going to the Baptist mega church. And we see that across the country. So there's a shift of people. But I think, again, when you look at numbers and crunch all the numbers, the Missouri Synod as a whole is in decline. So it logically follows that we would have a large number of congregations that are declining. It's not just a shuffle from one LCMS congregation to another.
Mm-hmm. So despair?
Absolutely not. No. As we look at the landscape of our culture and all the things that we're challenged with, it is and going to continue to be a trying time for the church, but it's an excellent time for the gospel.
How so?
Well, who else has good news? We have a monopoly on good news in the church. So the world is in desperate need of good news. And for some people, good news is, you know, homosexuals can now get married and they rejoice in that. Or good news is, you know, some government program that has, you know, provided them, quote, free healthcare. That's what, you know, the world looks for good news in these things, and it's fleeting. It's empty. It doesn't really fill them up with what they think that they're looking for. We continue to have the only thing that will bring them real joy, real hope, real life. So an excellent time for the gospel as people have chased after these false gods and these empty promises and are still lacking, still wanting.
And not only do we have this gospel, this good news, but it's been entrusted to us.
Yes, and when we say us, it's not just us collectively. That would be the outreach side of the equation. It's to us individually as God, as his witnesses. And so as we go out into the world, we don't just go out to earn a paycheck or to, you know, make the traveling team or to get the scholarship or, you know, to win a position on an HOA board. You know, we're just not out there to do those things, but those things are actually the vehicles by which God has put us into position to share the good news of Jesus with the people with whom he's connected us in our everyday lives.
We're discussing the Office of National Mission Witness and Outreach with the director, the Reverend Mark Wood. We need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue talking about witness and outreach in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and some opportunities. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO, the Messenger of Good News. You're listening to His Time. It is 7:46 Central Time. I'm Andy Bates. Joining me in studio this morning, the Reverend Mark Wood, Director of Witness Outreach and Revitalization in the Office of National Mission here at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Before we went to break, we were talking about the what is witness and outreach, what is revitalization, and what is the current state of many congregations in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And you pointed out that that we have. We have the gospel. We have the good news to do outreach with as collectively as congregations, but also to which we are given to be witnesses in individually as well. So, how do you go about this work of helping congregations with outreach, witness, revitalization? How do you do that in the Office of National Mission?
Well, even though the position I'm in is new, the work I'm doing isn't new. Obviously, we've been doing evangelism, witnessing, outreach, revitalization. But talking about revitalization first, we have, as I mentioned, somewhere around 4,000 to 4,500 congregations that need help. Most of what we look at in terms of what have we been doing in revitalization in the past decade or so, you know, we have an RSO called TCN that does revitalization. There's the 72 program within the Office of National Mission that does revitalization. Districts have put together their own versions of revitalization efforts. But if you collect those together and say, realistically, how many congregations could we serve in a given year with that collective effort? And it's somewhere like maybe 100 congregations, or if you really wanted to push it, 125 congregations. So that means if you were looking for help and we put you in a queue and we lined everybody up, it would take 30 to 40 years to get to everybody. So we need a different approach. We need one that is a large-scale approach to meet the large-scale need. And so what we're working on in the Office of National Mission right now is is a program called Revitality. It's RE colon vitality, because it's about vitality. Mm-hmm. It's not about what we're doing, but what the Holy Spirit does through the means of grace. How do we increase that use of the means of grace among ourselves and extend it out to others? So Revitality is meant to be a program that any congregation can pick up and use. It doesn't depend on an outside expert coming in to tell you what's what and to guide you through everything. It's resourcing a congregation so they could, you know, all 4,000 congregations could go off and do it at once if they wanted to. It's not going to be limited by the subject matter experts being available to come visit the congregation. That should also keep the cost very low. In fact, what the goal of Office of National Mission is to provide these resources at little to no cost to the congregation. Because if you're in a revitalization situation, chances are you don't have thousands of dollars to spend on a program. So that's what we're working on on that side of the work I do, the revitalization side, Revitality. On the witness and outreach side, we're working on a new evangelism program called A Simple Way. Now, the name of Simple Way really conveys two things. One is, this isn't hard. Jesus said, you know, you will be my witnesses. He wasn't saying, now go get a PhD in witnessing and come back and see me. I mean, he was speaking to fishermen. You know, he's speaking to uneducated men. He was saying, look, I chose these 12 to show the rest of the church throughout the ages that, you know, it's not about you. It's about me. Hmm. And I will do great things through you. And so it's being a witness of Jesus is straightforward. It's simple. It can be challenging, but it's not, well, as we say in our culture, right? It's not rocket science. But also A Simple Way, it gives a really important connection for us. In 5 of the 6 chief parts of the small catechism, under the title is a little heading that says, you know, this is a simple way for the head of the household to explain the creed, you know, the Lord's Prayer, whatever, you know, whatever chief part you're talking about. 5 of the 6 of those are started that way. And that struck me because as I look at our culture today, I said, where are the spiritual leaders in our homes? You know, there are many, many homes that have no spiritual leader. You know, the whole household is an unbelieving household. Who will stand in the stead of that absent spiritual leader to teach the faith to these people? Well, if not us. Who will? And so I really see in our context, it's incumbent upon us to stand in the stead of the absent spiritual leader in these homes and begin to teach the faith. And the small catechism is a fantastic resource for doing that.
Absolutely.
So A Simple Way really builds on that. Mm-hmm. There's the framework of LASSIE as how do I do this in terms of, you know, listen, ask, seek, share, invite, encourage. But then there's the content that we can draw from the small catechism. What's really exciting about this approach is it's not a one-size-fits-all. Now, that's kind of the core part of A Simple Way. But then we start to develop it within specific witnessing circumstances. For example, if you have a Mormon neighbor, how do I witness to my Mormon neighbor? Well, it's not just going to be go to this generic program and you figure out how to witness to a Mormon neighbor. There will be a specific element to this that will say, hey, if you're trying to witness to a Mormon neighbor, this is how to go about it. There'll be a case study to say this is an example. There'll be resources from people who have witnessed in these circumstances. There's even, I'm envisioning a sort of a crowdsourcing way of gathering up people's experiences and putting them up on a website that you could go to and say, wow, look, here's somebody over, you know, the next state over who this is their experience in witnessing to a Mormon neighbor. I can learn from that. I can draw from that. Mm-hmm. Maybe even a chat stream where you could log in and say, hey, I'm trying to witness to my Mormon neighbor. You know, what should I do or not do? Or when you spectacularly fail, to go back to the chat stream and say, this is what I did, and it blew up in my face. And somebody can say, don't worry. Well, you know, here's where you can go from here. Mm-hmm. And let's use the resources that we have as a synod, because we're a vast synod filled with all sorts of gifted people. Let's just find a way of sharing that information with one another. So A Simple Way intends to do that.
So in a not so complex way.
Right. Let's keep it simple. and you know, use a lot of complex things to keep it simple.
In an undercomplicated manner.
Yeah.
So, I'm just going to give it all kinds of names.
So that's what we're working on. Mm-hmm. And right now, it's kind of daunting because there's just me. you know, and I say that tongue in cheek because obviously one person can't develop all this material. And we don't want it to be that way. We want to reach out across the synod mm-hmm. and find expertise in districts, congregations, our university system, and our role in the Office of National Mission then becomes coordinating this effort, managing this effort to produce these products that we can deliver to congregations, again, at little to no cost to the congregation. And to that end, we're actually looking for another person to join our team.
So we're looking for another teammate, a coordinator.
A coordinator position. It's posted on the Synod website right now.
Mm-hmm.
So if someone's looking for it, you go to career opportunities, I think.
Employment opportunities. Go to lcms.org and at the bottom of the page, look for employment. Or the bottom of the page says employment opportunities. Once you click on that, it takes you to a page called career opportunities, and you can browse open jobs.
Right. So it's coordinator for witness outreach and revitalization. And we're looking for somebody who can not necessarily develop all this material. Of course, it's just overwhelming mm-hmm. amount of material that we'll be working with, but they can work with people who will be doing the development. So coordinator is a good title for that because you'll be working with a large array of people who across the synod who are subject matter experts in these various topics and helping pull together these resources and then getting them out to where they can do some good, getting them out to congregations and members. So as they go out to be witnesses of Jesus in their everyday lives, they're equipped to do so.
So really working closely with you and others in the Office of National Mission to help develop these resources, some materials, some resources in making connections.
Right. And keeping things on track. So when
you say keeping things on track, you really mean keeping you on track?
Yeah. So you say when Wood gets another wild idea, somebody's got to be able to rein him in and say, well, you know, that's really a great idea, but you know, it's not, we're not on track here.
Here's what we need to focus on. What type of education or experience would be most helpful or fitting for this type of work?
Well, first, experience-wise, it should be somebody who can and has shared the gospel with unbelieving people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that sounds kind of silly to say that, but I've run into a lot of people, including some LCMS pastors, who've confided, I've never shared the gospel with an unbelieving person before. I talk about Jesus all the time, mm-hmm. but with believers. So somebody who's able to do that, has some experience doing it, understands the challenge of that. Education, there's a lot of theological content. So the preferred candidate's experience in education would be that which leads to a commissioned minister. So somebody who's been trained as a DCE or DCO or a deaconess, a school teacher, an educator, somebody who has some of that theological training.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not limited to them. If there's somebody else who doesn't hold status but has that kind of background in theological education, or we certainly would consider that person.
So someone who has had the experience of witnessing to an unbeliever, who's familiar with that, someone who has a valuable theological education, well catechized, and who's ready to get to work.
Ready to get to work. And it would help if they had some, well, obviously technical skills, mm-hmm. you know, the basic stuff that, you know, Word and Microsoft Office stuff that we use, PowerPoint, of course, because mm-hmm. we can't do anything without PowerPoint, but also just a kind of a technical orientation as we work through a lot of the details of this program.
And so if they're a Mac user, they're going to have to convert.
Yes.
Well, very good. You can find the information on lcms.org. Go to the bottom of the page and click on employment opportunities. There, that'll take you to the career opportunities page, and you're going to look for coordinator, witness, and outreach and revitalization. Find that position, and that'll help you get, well, that'll help you get started in that process. You can fill out an application there and go from there. Well, thank you so much, Pastor Wood, for coming in today and sharing with us and helping us share this information with our listeners. And we'll post a link on our website with the archives as well, so folks can check it out. Once the archive is posted, then they can click on the link directly from there, and it'll take them to the page.
Well, great. I look forward to hearing from our listeners and moving forward these programs to better equip God's people to be witnesses of Jesus.
Very good. You're listening to His Time on Worldwide KFUO. I'm Andy Bates. More on the way, including our study of the daily New Testament reading, right here on listener-supported Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.